forever. And Lord, we honor you this morning. We give you praise and glory today. Hallelujah to the precious Son of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you so much. Again, praise and worship team, beautiful singing, great songs today. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me this morning to Romans chapter 6? Romans chapter 6, we're going to begin reading at verse 3. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth, he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I want to preach just for a few moments this morning on the subject of the first baptism. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus, and we're so grateful for the presence of the Holy Spirit that we felt. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of celebrating Holy Communion, remembering your sacrifice for us on the cross of Calvary. Lord, today I ask that you would anoint these next few moments with the Holy Spirit, and that, Lord, you would open our eyes and our hearts to the glory of the salvation we have in Jesus Christ. Take us deeper in Jesus in these next few moments, I pray. And, Lord, we know that can't be done by human effort. It can only be done by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we believe and trust in your gracious anointing today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Just a few moments, we're going to celebrate the second ordinance of the church, water baptism. And I entitled this message, The First Baptism, because when Jesus came to John at the River Jordan to be baptized, there obviously had been many other people baptized as a baptism of repentance by John. But this one Jesus, the Son of God, who came to John that day to be baptized. If you study the scriptures in Luke 3 concerning the baptism of Jesus Christ by John, you're going to find enough theology contained in those scriptures to preach the rest of our time here on planet Earth. It's so much, so deep and so beautiful. But the question is often asked, why did Jesus come to be baptized? He had no sin. He was the Son of God. But what we must know, that Jesus Christ was both very man and very God at the same time. And Jesus was going to be our representative man, and is our representative man before God. Meaning that as a man, to meet God's, and the book of John tells us this, that Jesus was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. What that means is that as a man, living as a man, representing us, Jesus had to live a perfect, sinless life, having only at his disposal what we would have as human beings, which, of course, is the power of the Holy Spirit. And with him being our representative man, although he was very God, he came to John that day and asked John, will you baptize me? Boy, that touches me, because he didn't have to do this. And let me be expressly clear from the beginning of this message. There's nothing in this water that saves you. There's nothing in this water that washes sin away. It is foolish. It is detriment. It is an abrogation to the shed blood of Jesus Christ to say anything other than his precious shed blood washes away sin. Nothing else does. But the act of baptism is very, very important, because Jesus, as our representative man, came to John and was willing to humble himself to be our representative that day. And he asked John, "Will you baptize me?" John was stymied, for John knew who he was. And he said, "Lord, I have need to be baptized of you." And then Jesus said, "Nevertheless, suffer it be so to fulfill all righteousness." In other words, what he was telling John, "I'm representing the entirety of humanity as a man. And I must proceed with what God the Father will want all of them to do, and down to the minutest detail." And John permitted then and succumbed to the Lord and baptized him. And there you have a beautiful representation of the Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. For when Jesus was baptized and came up out of the water, the Bible says a dove descended, the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Praise God. I got to stop and preach there for a moment. No one else ever born has pleased God except Jesus Christ. No one. That's why when we read in Romans today, there are three baptisms mentioned in the New Testament. There is two are spiritual, one is physical. The two spiritual baptisms are our baptism into Christ by the Holy Spirit Himself, when we place our faith and trust in the finished work of the cross. That's the first baptism. The second baptism is a water baptism, which is physical. And there's nothing in this water that saves anybody. What this is what Jesus did that day at the Jordan River as a testimony. As a testimony. Jesus didn't need to be baptized. He was sinless. But he willingly did so because he was making a testimony to the world of who he was and what his mission was going to be. To give his life on Calvary. That he was the Son of God. That he was sinless. And that he was representing us and would evermore be representing us before God the Father. And after John baptized him, that beautiful voice, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Only Jesus pleases God. We need to know that. That's why the first baptism is us being baptized into Him. The second baptism, water baptism, is our testimony of what He's already done for us. Washing our sins away, making us righteous before God. That's all you're saying when you willingly submit to the ordinance of baptism. You're saying to the world, "Christ has washed my sins away already. And I'm testifying to the world that He has delivered me from sin's power and that I am in Him and He is in me." And the third baptism is another spiritual baptism, the mighty baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. But I entitled this message the first baptism because until Jesus was baptized, until He willingly submitted, that's the only one that really counted. After that, He fulfilled all righteousness before God. When He gave Himself on the cross of Calvary, He totally and completely met God's standard of perfection. He forevermore satisfied God's demand and God's judgment against sin. And He forevermore rose from the tomb as God put His stamp of approval on His work on the cross by raising Him from the dead, and He lives forevermore. And in Romans 6, what the Bible tells us, Paul said, "Don't you know," in other words, "that you've been baptized into Christ?" The very second that sinner puts faith in what Jesus did on the cross, spiritually, the Holy Spirit takes that individual and baptizes them into the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Christ we are made holy. In Christ we're declared righteous. In Christ we're declared sinless. And it is the most glorious event that could ever happen to a human. The Bible says we're made brand new in Him. That means based on our faith alone. Praise God, not on our performance as humans. Based on our faith in Christ and Him crucified, we are declared to be the righteousness of God Almighty in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Give God a hand of praise this morning. Glory to God. Glory to God. And it's in that first baptism, being baptized into Christ, that we're made holy and righteous. Praise God. This water baptism we're going to celebrate this morning is just a human testimony that I have partaken of what's spoken of in Romans 6. And now, not only based upon my faith in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, God kills us. The body of sin is dead. The body, that old man is crucified with Christ in the mind of God. But based on our faith, God no longer sees us as we once were. He sees us as being in Christ, covered and smothered in Jesus Christ. The book of Colossians, I believe it's 3:3, says our lives are hidden in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That means forevermore we're buried in him. And God only sees his righteousness, his sinlessness, his perfection. Praise God. Praise God. It's the greatest thing that could ever happen to a human. And this is performed, the first baptism is performed by the Holy Spirit, as he baptizes us into Christ, places us in Christ. My Lord, that's glorious. That's glorious. I'm here to tell you, I've had everything that this world will tell you will make you happy. Drugs will leave your heart blackened. Sexual sin will leave your heart blackened. It may bring pleasure for a season, but it will ultimately destroy you. And it will ultimately kill you. I'm talking to somebody this morning. Your soul is dead. You're ate up with sin. And you're on your way to a burning hell. And that judgment of God hangs over you as a sinner like a sword of Damocles. You can't get rid of it. You can't drink it away. You can't drug it away. You can't have enough improper relationships to make it go away. Because your problem is sin. You're a sinner. You're a hell-bound sinner with no hope. You're going to suffer an eternal damnation unless you throw yourself at the foot of Calvary's cross and find the grace and mercy that Jesus Christ will freely give you. That's the only hope for humanity. And the human soul is doomed to suffer in the darkness of sin until that soul turns to Christ. I want to say something here. I just got a few more minutes. Give me just a few more minutes. Most of what's diagnosed as man's psychological problems in this world today, I would venture to say at least 99% of them are due to sin. Because that person, it's inbuilt in our spirit when we come into this world. There is a cognizance in your mind if you're living in sin and you're fully aware of it, that you're under the judgment of Almighty God. You sit under his judgment. The next breath you draw, if you're without Christ this morning, is only because God allowed it. You're under his judgment. He loves you, but his judgment is only satisfied in Christ Jesus. Christ took the judgment that should have befallen you and I. Only Christ can satisfy God. That's why Jesus said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And that human living under that horrific knowledge that I could go to hell at any second. And it's there. You may not identify it as that. That restlessness in your soul and spirit that you can't get rid of. No matter what you try to do. You wonder and you lay awake wondering, why do I feel this way? Why can't I assuage this horrible black spot deep in my soul? That's your cognizance that you're under the judgment of Almighty God. You're one breath away from a burning hell. And you say, why would a loving God send me to a burning hell? He won't. He won't. He's a God of great judgment, but he's a God of great grace. He has made an escape for humanity. He has provided a way for his judgment against mankind to be satisfied. And that method was the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross for you. And that's the only way to assuage that guilt and that horror of being under the judgment of God. It'll drive anybody crazy walking around with the knowledge that you're one breath away from a burning eternal torment. And you know that if you're without Christ. You know that. Maybe I've just helped you identify what you've been feeling, but you know it's there if you're without Christ. But the good news I have for you this morning is that Jesus Christ loves you. He loves you enough that He came and represented you before God. And He paid the penalty for your sin and my sin by shedding His blood on the cross of Calvary. You say, why blood? Because the life of flesh is in blood. It's blood that keeps us alive as humans in the flow of blood. And so that sacrifice had to be sinless and had to be perfect in God's sight, and Jesus Christ was. And it was proven when God raised Him from the dead that God found the work of His Son on the cross totally acceptable, totally fulfilling His judgment against man. Jesus bore that judgment that should have fallen on us. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to die lost this morning. You can rid your life of that horrible, horrible, pressing darkness that's there if you're in sin. God's made a way, and that way is Jesus Christ. And if you'll put your faith today in what He did for you on that cross, what happens in the mind of God is He does for you what we just read in Romans 6. Based on your faith alone, because none of us could be good enough to earn this. There's not a one of us that could ever be good enough to earn God's favor. Only Jesus pleases God. Only Jesus pleases God. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. But the good news is, if we'll place our faith in the person and the work of the God-man, Jesus Christ, God takes us and places us in Him. Let me close with a simple illustration. I've used it many times, but it so beautifully and simply illustrates what I'm trying to say. When that sinner comes to Christ and says, Lord Jesus, I place my faith and trust in You and in Your precious shed blood, God will hear that cry, hallelujah. I don't care what kind of sin you've been in. I don't care how deep it's gone. I don't care how much in the morass of sin your life is. Jesus will wash away any sin if you'll come to Him. And that sinner cries out to God, throwing himself on God's grace and mercy by faith, by placing their faith in Christ and what He did at the cross. God then commands the Holy Spirit, take that person spiritually and place them in my Son. And at that moment, in the portals of glory, angels begin to shout. All heaven erupts in a praise, a crescendo of praise. Why? Because in one felt swoop, God in Jesus Christ, by this spiritual baptism, meets all of God's requirements in Jesus Christ. First of all, you die. The Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. God kills you, spiritually speaking. He kills you and wipes the old you out. And then the Holy Spirit takes you and puts you into Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He puts you in Jesus Christ. The old us is gone. Hallelujah. And we're buried with Christ and in Him. But God doesn't stop there. Paul went on to say in Romans 6, don't you know that if you've been planted in the likeness of His death, you shall also be planted in the glory of His resurrection. Hallelujah. That's how God makes you a new person. That's how God makes you a new person. You know, we'll come and we'll get saved and ask the blood of Christ to cleanse us, and God will do all that. But we still ain't going to be perfect in this fleshly tabernacle. But it's by faith we're perfected. By maintaining that faith that saved us. Keeps us in Christ. In Christ. That's why the Bible says, let me use a simple illustration. Our lives are hidden in Christ. Say this hand is Christ. This finger would be the sinner. When this sinner says, Jesus Christ, wash my sin away, I place my faith and trust in what You've did for me at the cross. God commands the Holy Spirit, take that repentant sinner, put them in Christ. And our lives are hidden in Christ from that moment on, as long as we keep faith in what He did for us on the cross. All sin is washed away. God looks at us as being a brand new person. God looks at us. You didn't get what I said there. I said God looks at you then as being a brand new person. He sees only Christ. He sees only the perfection of Christ. He sees only the sinlessness of Christ. He sees only the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And we are born again at that moment in time by the power of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of you need that this morning. I hadn't planned to preach this hard. And I can't help it. I got to obey the Holy Spirit. I know we got a church meeting coming up in a few minutes, but there's nothing more important than the eternal salvation of a soul. Some of you need what I'm preaching about this morning. And I feel, and I'm not trying to scare you. You can't scare a person into salvation. But I am giving you something that I feel is from the Lord. Some of you are in real danger of losing your eternal soul this morning. You're that one breath away from a burning eternal torment. You have rebelled against God. You have, in your human pride, snubbed your nose at the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But he wants me to tell you this morning. He loves you, but his judgment is burning hot against you right now. And your soul is in misery. Your soul is in misery. You can hide it from, you think you've got it hid from everybody. You can't hide it from God. Your soul is in misery because it knows it's one breath away from a burning eternal torment that there's no escape from. But the second thing he wants you to know this morning is that he does love you and will cleanse you and forgive you. And he'll deliver you from that horrible, horrible weight of sin that's in your life. That darkness, that bleakness, that blackness that you think I've got it hid from everybody else. But when you lay your head on your pillow at night, you know it's there. You say, how do you know? How can you so arrogantly make that statement? Because I was in sin once. I did everything you could think of, trying to make that horrible, ugly feeling go away. And I'm here to tell you, nothing is going to make it go away. Nothing is going to make it go away except coming and placing your faith in Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross. And he will not refuse you. He's had me preach this hard this morning. Because the ones I'm speaking to, you're not here by accident this morning. Let me be blunt this morning. I usually don't have a problem with that, but let me be even more blunt this morning. You think you came to see some kids baptized this morning. You're on divine appointment of Jesus Christ today. You're on divine appointment with Jesus Christ today. And he said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever. What does that mean? You keep rejecting him. And there's going to come a time that you won't feel the Holy Ghost conviction that you're feeling right now. That I know you're feeling right now. Some of you are sitting there in your chair. You want to run out of this building right now. Because the Holy Ghost is convicting you so. That's showing his love for you. That's showing his love for you. His conviction is his love. He's letting you know, you're under my judgment, but I love you, and I have provided a way out for you. You may not always feel that convicting power. You keep rejecting it long enough and harden your heart toward Jesus Christ. Believe me, as much as he loves you, he'll leave you alone. There'll come a point. He won't send the Holy Spirit to convict you anymore, and you'll go off into an eternal darkness of damnation and burning. Do you know what the worst part of hell is going to be? Even worse than the flames and the physical torment that people are going to feel in hell if they reject Jesus Christ. You know what the worst part of it's going to be? Eternally possessing the knowledge. I did not have to be here. I did not have to go. I sat through church service after church service mocking Jesus Christ, rejecting Jesus Christ. And I did not have to be here in this eternal torment. But because of my pride, because of me rejecting Jesus, I'm eternally lost. Don't make that eternal mistake. God, the Holy Ghost, has really reached out to some today. And those of you who attend this church regularly, I had not planned to mention hell and preach as hard as I have today. I had a little sermonette prepared, but God had other things prepared. You're here on divine appointment today. You didn't come just to see kids baptized today. Jesus Christ had you come here today to reach out to you. Don't reject him. He loves you. Come to the cross of Christ and have your sin cleansed. He loves you. He loves you. And he's the only way you'll ever escape that horrible, horrible feeling of being under God's judgment. Would you bow your heads? Would everyone please stand? Heavenly Father, I know that no human words can achieve what needs to be achieved in some of these people's lives today. Only the Holy Spirit can do it. But the Holy Spirit flows through the heralding of your message, your gospel. And Jesus, the gospel's been preached today. That's all I can do as a human. I've faithfully discharged the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I know that some are in horrible, horrible bondage today to sin and to the devil. And Lord, I'm praying in the name of Jesus that you clearly convict them of their sin and show them they don't have to live that way. That you will gloriously wash that sin away and give them a brand new life, a life of joy and peace, if they'll come to you today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you, are you right with God today? Are you right with God? You say, what do you mean, Pastor? I come to church a couple times a year. I try to be good. That's not what I'm talking about. This Bible says in the same book of Romans, there is none good, no, not one. All have sinned and fallen short of God's standard of righteousness and perfection. The only way to be right with God, the only way, not a way, the only way, is by coming to Jesus Christ and placing your faith and trust in what he did for you on the cross. If your answer to my question is, are you right with God, was anything other than, yes, I'm right with God because my faith is in what Jesus did for me at the cross. That's the only acceptable answer that can make a person right with God. And I'm not here to beat you down today. God knows I'm trying to lift you up. I'm trying to let the Holy Spirit flow to reach down to you as he is doing right now into the muck and the mire of sin and pull you out of that mess of sin into the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He'll do it if you'll come to him today, if you'll ask him, if you'll ask him. And you're not here by accident. You're on divine appointment today. Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, has put you at this moment in time today, and you're about to make an eternal decision on where you'll spend eternity. You're about to make an eternal decision. And I'm going to ask you, as the Holy Spirit, and you know he's been moving on you, I could come lay hands on the ones. I won't embarrass you, but I could. He's been dealing with you deep in your heart as this word has gone forth. He's telling you what that preacher's saying is right. You're under my judgment. You're a lost sinner. But I want to save you. I want to deliver you from that sin. But I will only do it on my terms, not your terms. That's what God is saying to you, those of you today that are in sin. I know it. I know it. With every head bowed and every eye closed, and without hesitation, if this is you, you would say, I know I'm a sinner. And I want to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he did for me on the cross today. Would you slip up a hand right now and hold it up unashamedly with every head bowed and every eye closed? I promise you, I will not embarrass you. I'm not going to call you down front. Not going to be any of that. But you're saying to God, I need Jesus Christ. I'm a sinner. Are there any at all by uplifted hand who would say, that's me. That's me. God bless you. I see that hand. Are there any others? Are there any others? I'm lost. I'm a sinner. The Holy Spirit's telling me to wait. The Holy Spirit's telling me to wait right now because he loves you and he's reaching out to several other of you. And I'm not trying to use some psychological ploy on you. I wouldn't do that. That don't save a person. If the Holy Spirit don't do it, man's ways will not bring a person into the kingdom of God. But he is telling me to wait. Are there others by that uplifted hand who would say, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Nobody's going to embarrass you. But perhaps you're feeling some embarrassment right now. That's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. He's letting you know you're not right. You should be feeling uncomfortable right now if you're not right with God. That's normal. But he will not embarrass you. He's just showing you by convicting you of your sin, convincing you that you're a sinner and you need him. That's what he's doing right now. Are there any others by uplifted hand who would say, Pastor, that's me. That's me. I need to give my life to Christ today. Any at all? Any at all? I see that hand. Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to ask everyone who will now to pray this prayer with me. And I want to say to you, there's nothing magical in this prayer. The only reason I'm leading you in it is maybe you don't know what words to say to the Lord. And I just want to help you because I know his word, and as his messenger, I know what he wants you to tell him. So if you pray this prayer and you mean it, Jesus will not turn you away. He will save you and wash your sin away. Would everyone please pray out loud with me? Dear God in heaven, I come to you as a sinner. I feel guilty. I asked you, as I put my faith in what your Son, Jesus Christ, did for me on the cross, to cleanse my sin, forgive me of my sin, and make me one of your children. I turn from my way, and I give my life to you, Lord Jesus. I believe that you died on the cross and that your blood and my faith in it makes me clean. It satisfies God's judgment. And based upon your word, which cannot lie, in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, and that based upon my faith alone, I am raised at this moment in time as a new creature, a brand new person in Jesus Christ. I am saved. I am washed. I am delivered from sin's power. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me today. I will live for you, and I will serve you the rest of my life. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise this morning. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Some of you didn't pray that prayer and you needed to. I'm asking you, do it at home later if you couldn't pray it now. God will save you anywhere if you'll call on him. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You don't have to do it in a church. If you didn't do it now, some of you needed to and you didn't do it. God's still reaching out to you, even at this moment in time, the Holy Ghost is. Pray that prayer at home later on today. He will meet you if you'll call on him. He's a gracious and merciful God. Hallelujah. Let's give him a hand of praise today. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, now we're going to prepare. You can be seated. Thank you for your patience this morning. And I told you, Chris, I was going to kill us when I said I was going to preach 15 minutes, but we're doing all right. Baptismal candidates, if you would you go and prepare in whatever way you needed to get ready for the baptism? And I'm going to go back here and prepare. Brother Chris, if you just want to put some music on or something, are you going to assist? Did you get? Okay, great. All three of his children are being baptized this morning. Isn't that beautiful and special? I told him for service, I said, well, Chris, you're an ordained minister. I said, help me. Get in there with them. Those are your kids. It's an honor for me to take part in it. So I'm going to go prepare. Just bear with us momentarily, and we'll be back with you in a few minutes.
Valley, live. I see a world that's dying, and it's wounded by the master of the sea. Oh, I was searching in the darkness, wounded by the years of past defeat. Oh, but I see you standing near me, Lord, and you're shining with compassion from your eyes. And I pray